This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
And horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Top stories of the day. A lot of NBA stuff here. LeBron James was asked last night if that Game 5 was going to be his last with the Lakers. He said he wasn't going to answer the question. But now we're seeing reports from trusted NBA writers that LeBron will likely choose to opt out of his contract and then be a free agent. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to be a Laker. He still very well could sign with the Lakers. Then we hear a report, Angel, that the Lakers would really consider bringing Bronny over to L.A. this year. I mean, is he a draft guy? Does he get drafted? Is he a top? There's two rounds in the NBA draft. It's kind of an exclusive club.
It is. I don't personally think he's there yet. I think he still needs another year of college basketball. But
he's not going to.
If that's a stipulation to keep LeBron, then I guess you kind of have to do it.
So the question then is, what does LeBron want? He's 39 years old. Does he want a championship? Does he want money? Or does he want to play with Bronny? Maybe there's a universe where all three of those things come together, but I'm not so sure on that.
Does an in-season tournament championship count?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Did they really do the whole champagne thing during that? I keep seeing that, and I'm like, is that really from that, or is that from the bubble that they're just re-showing? But it was actually, they actually did that. I mean, come on. That is such a bad look for their in-season tournament. Well, now Darvin Ham, uncertain if he's going to be back for the Lakers. I can't lie. I don't mind seeing the Lakers in disarray. Have no problem with that at all. Michael Malone said Darvin Ham's a great coach. I hope he can stay there. I hope he's there for a long time. Well, yeah. Of course Malone.
12-1 against him.
Of course Malone wants Darvin Ham to stick around. That's one less guy I have to worry about. Is Darvin Ham that bad of a coach? I'm asking.
I don't think he is. I think Malone is just that much better of a coach.
All right, so here's a top story then. George Karl and J.R. Smith are going at it on social media. Shocker. J.R. Smith, after the game last night, former Denver Nugget, of course, for those of you following along, tweeted out that if they would have had Michael Malone as their head coach, they would have won a title during his time in Denver. Well, Malone, the problem with that was Malone was like an assistant coach. So is he like, give me the mind of Malone today and put that mind into George Karl's body, brain, head. We're winning a championship. Either way, we get where he's going with it. Now, I know you were a youngster around that time.
Mm-hmm.
I maintain that you just didn't have the dogs. The best year they had was the 2009 season. And that was the year they lost in the Western Conference Finals. Carmelo and Chauncey gave you the best shot at that. Do you think that if Malone was the head coach, with his expertise now, was the head coach of the Denver Nuggets at that stage, would have got a championship out of the Nuggets? I don't think any other years outside of 2009, the Nuggets were a real contender. Obviously, they were booted in the first rounds. So I have a hard time thinking that consistently they're going to win titles, but let's put a little microscope on it. In 2009, does that team win a title if it's the current version of Michael Malone coaching them over George Karl?
Yeah, so that team, they beat the Hornets in round one in five games, beat
that
the
was
Mavericks
Chris Paul
in
still,
five.
Dirk still.
And then played the Lakers had home court. They split the first two games in Los Angeles, split the next two in Denver, and then lost at Los Angeles and then in Denver.
Yeah. The infamous inbounding of the ball was an issue. But make no mistake, that Nuggets team was legit. But it was Kobe Bryant.
And from what you've told me and what I've been researching about that team was the attitudes and the personalities that were on that team.
Malone wouldn't have kept all those guys.
Yeah.
Chauncey would have been his guy. Name one guy on the Nuggets roster that reminds you of Carmelo Anthony mentally. Not one. J.R. Smith? Mm-mm. I mean, other than the shirt taken off thing, Gordon.
Yeah.
Well, Gordon was in his jersey, though. Yeah. But just walking
Smith
around amongst
walked
the fans.
Around Vegas for like a week without a shirt on.
Gordon just walking amongst the fans, I guess, is the only comparison you can make there. But nobody on this team is Kenyon Martin. Mm-mm. Nobody on this team is Carmelo. So I don't love that George Karl is getting upset that these former players are calling him out. They've probably heard about his book by now. It's a good read. Kind of all over the place, but it's a good read. But I'm going to give George Karl the respect he deserves here and say no chance. No chance that team even exists under Michael Malone.
Yeah, so the top eight guys in terms of minutes that year included Allen Iverson, Chauncey Billups, Carmelo, Nene, Kenyon Martin, J.R. Smith, Anthony Carter, and Linus?
Linus Klaza. Didn't they traded Iverson. He was gone halfway through.
Yeah, he only played in three games.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly how. I just know that it was Iverson first.
And Chris Anderson, Birdman.
The Birdman. Nene was on that team?
Mm-hmm.
Was Eduardo Nájera on that team?
No.
No, he was off that team. Linus Klaza. Telling you, man, one time am I going to school at that point? Am I going to college? Yeah. I go to open gym to shoot around, and there's a guy at the end of the court all by himself, just shooting. And you know how you yell when you make a shot? Jordan, Kobe, he's throwing him up going, Klaza! I was like, who does Klaza? Like, who? I liked Klaza, but who's dreaming of being Linus Klaza? Like, I don't know. I don't think that team exists under Michael Malone. So maybe the whole, again, all of it's moot, but those guys wouldn't have meshed with Malone's philosophy.
No, and it's a different perspective with us with Malone because we've seen him grow with this team. We've seen how he's evolved as a coach, and he's really had his hand on all of one of these players in terms of how they're going to build this roster, how he's going to build the starting five. You know, you go back to the Nurkic-Jokic decision. You go back to Murray, what position is he going to play? MPJ finally getting minutes as a starter with the back injuries and all of that. And now it's created this culture that it's like, yeah, anybody could coach that team, but I don't think anybody could.
No, I don't think anybody. I think everything you just outlined there was Malone learning his team and give it to the Kroenkes for letting him do so. Has Malone ever been really on the hot seat? The way we know it and talk about it today?
I would say probably the 2021 series, the year after the bubble when Jamal got hurt. I think going into that playoffs, had Jamal not been hurt, there would be higher expectations on that season.
Yeah, and I think he got a pass. It kind of reset for him.
He got a pass kind of for 2 years because you had two players hurt, but also you had a two-time MVP at that point.
Yeah, I think there's a certain amount of pressure that's been on Malone, but I don't think he ever really got to that point because of the injuries. And then you kind of gave him the pass, and then last year it was like, okay, hopefully they can make a deep run here. And then they made a deep run, and that was it.
Because the 2019 run was their first real run together, and that was, you know, they lost in seven to Portland in the second round. Then you do the bubble year, and that's whatever. And then that third year in 2021, I think that's when the expectations were, you have to get out of the second round, and it just didn't happen.
It's funny you talk about that year, too. I remember asking Malone. I was down at one of the summer, you know, the pre-media things, and they did it differently then. And I remember asking Malone, hey, how much do you think the Game 7s, because you've been in a lot of Game 7s, have really galvanized this team to make them ready for an eventual championship run? And I got the old great question thing, so I was feeling pretty good. And Malone was like, that's going to be the test now. These guys have been through a lot of battles deep in the playoffs, how can they learn from it? And the answer was ultimately yes. They have learned from it.
I think they're still learning from it.
I think they are. I think that's fair to say for everybody.
It's the game two and even last night's game to win those in clutch moments. They were doing that 4 years ago when they were playing the Spurs and the Trailblazers in seven-game series.
There is a history coming up between this next opponent. Minnesota Angel was where it all began for Denver.
Game 82.
No Anthony Edwards at that point, but you had a good Timberwolves team. And they knocked that game. The winner would go and be the eighth seed in the playoffs. Timberwolves win. That was the last time a Michael Malone-led Nuggets team was not in the playoffs. The Timberwolves ended that. And since that point, the Nuggets have kind of gone up. And then obviously injuries hit. They were stagnant for a moment. We go back to the bubble even. They were a great team in the bubble but lost to the Lakers. We know how that all went down. And the rest is kind of history now. And the Timberwolves are certainly a different team than that team.
Yeah, the only remainder from that team is Cat,
that's
Anthony Towns.
Who else was on that team?
Jimmy Butler and Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, right. Wiggins. Wiggins got sent there thanks to LeBron. He, LeBron wanted Kevin Love.
And they got Butler in a trade with Chicago with Zach LaVine.
Wow. Zach LaVine. Well, so that was an interesting stretch there. It's quite the interesting history. You know, George Karl does. I mean, do you follow George on social media?
I don't, but
you don't?
I see
he's
stuff
a good
that
follow.
People repost.
He's entertaining. He talks about, hey, there's a reason. What did he tweet today? There's a reason the rearview mirror is smaller than your windshield. Stop looking back. And I'm like, dude, you can't say
that's
that, George.
That's a jelly roll quote.
But you can't say that because you wrote a book. And I'm all for looking in the rearview mirror, like documenting history and outlining how things went. I want to know about Kenyon Martin wanting to punch George Karl's lights out on the sidelines of a game. I love that stuff.
Yeah, he responded to J.R. Smith saying, hey, J.R., let it go and let's celebrate the new Nuggets, not worry about our old Nuggets. Have a real talk sometime and maybe go see a therapist together.
But you can't, George, you can't do that because you're profiting off of a book you wrote that is doing just that. So that's my only beef with George Karl. And I don't have a beef with George. I love the man. I have a picture of him and me. He and I, he is I. We are together.
Us.
In my office at home, the great Jerry Schimmel introduced me to George Karl. We went out for lunch. It was awesome. I could listen to that man talk basketball and Nuggets history all day long. So I have nothing but respect for this man. I just think that this whole, like, stop bringing up the past thing is really weird because you wrote a book called Furious George that documents just that.
Well, it's like he's not bringing up the past. His former players are. He's responding to it and then saying, hey, wait, whoa, don't take what I said in the wrong way.
Yeah, but he did. I mean, he goes on to say things like, he talks about Kenyon Martin not having, you know, a reliable father to look at. Like, those are some personal things that you're getting into in a book.
Well, and what is really the legacy of that team? With J.R. Smith probably more known for what he did in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Carmelo has become a full-time New York Knick at this point.
Yeah.
Where's their legacy?
There's not really a legacy there. It's kind of like, who can we compare that to now? A current team that's always in the playoffs but just can never get over the hump.
Steelers.
Yeah, maybe. Or the Suns right now, but the Suns sound like they're about ready to. That group was together for a while, so they were really good. They were a great regular season team. But their legacy is they couldn't get past the first round. They had the 1 year. And that was the year you thought maybe they were a contender, but Kobe was being Kobe, and you couldn't get past it. So that's kind of where that legacy is for George. It was a good legacy up until the championship run. Some might argue that those years were the best years for the Denver Nuggets. But most would, and I will tell you that it would be I wasn't alive, but doing my history, Woody Page, going back and doing my research, I would tell you that it was the Alex English days, probably the second best run for the Nuggets. And then it was, you know, the third best run was the Carmelo-led team. But it all doesn't matter now. Those are all distant second to what's going on right now. So I think Malone, obviously Malone's the better coach than George Karl. He passed him in wins, didn't he?
I believe so.
Or did he tie him? I can't remember. He's either passed him or he's tied, but he will. He'll pass Doug Moe, too. But I can't really go there on Malone would have got this group to win a title because I don't think Malone would have had the same group. I think Malone probably goes to management and says, hey, I don't think we're going to win a title with Carmelo being our focus or Kenyon Martin with his attitude.
Yeah, so Doug Moe's at 432, Malone's at 424, and George Karl's at 423.
All great coaches. George Karl was not probably what you would call a player's coach, Angel. I mean, George has one of the infamous quotes of saying, I don't have it in front of me, but like I'm not going to learn that player's name until they do something. You know? I mean, see, that's how he viewed the game. I don't think Malone's really like that. At all, actually. I don't know if George Karl's going to have a teary-eyed conversation with Jamal Murray when Jamal says, I'm damaged goods.
Or even a albeit emotional conversation about playing in a closeout game.
Yeah, not sure. So it's hard to go back on that. I just don't think that Malone would have stood for the personalities on that rock. Look at Bones Highland. I mean, that guy had a lot of promise with the Nuggets, and we thought we were spoiled, right?
Oh, and he identified it quick and got him out.
That's Malone. You know, and there was a riff, allegedly, between Jamal and Bones, and Bones was kind of more of an ISO player and didn't really grasp what the Nuggets were trying to do and had a lot of talent. Helped them win a lot of games.
It reminds me just a little bit of Peyton Watson in that where he maybe could have gone down the Bones path, but he has been obviously corrected with a guy like Christian Brown with being on a championship team last year without playing in the playoffs. You see what it takes. And I think Peyton Watson has really embraced that mature role for such a young player.
Did you see how emotional he was last night?
Yeah.
And he you know, he had a rough series.
He did.
And he was emotional about that because he's just like witnessing this and being a part of it is...
Well, he works incredibly hard.
Yeah, and I was so happy he hit that corner three last night. But man, he and Brown have really been through it in this series. But the beautiful part is you win the series and now you get to rewrite, you know, write a new chapter. You don't have to be known as, oh, the bench didn't show up. That's just part of it. I think overall we can say fairly though, right? The bench did not show up in this series.
No, I'd say last night was probably the better bench game for them, and that was probably because they were playing the starters a lot more and Murray wasn't staggered as much even with the injury. I mean, Reggie Jackson hit a couple of shots.
He did, but he took 4 million of them.
And then he took a bunch of ugly shots later.
Oh, there was a time, there was like 7 seconds left in the shot clock. And Joker's at the top, like trying to direct Reggie, and Reggie just goes, nope, rain dance, and just tosses it up. And I'm like, you have 7 seconds, dude.
Yeah.
You can still get a screen and set something up. And Reggie just kind of gets in that weird, and Reggie doesn't seem like that kind of player for the Nuggets, but sometimes he does get caught up in his old Clipper way.
Yeah, I was, you know, watching the game last night. I'm like, Reggie, this is not ISO ball with Reggie Jackson.
No.
Pass the ball. Play with your teammates.
Come on, Reggie. It's not Reggie can't miss Jackson, man. But he did have a couple of shots that were good.
You think maybe, like, that was a mental thing with him not knowing if he was going to have to start or not?
As far as just firing up shots last night? Or,
sure. I got to be able to show that I can, if I need to, I can take over for Jamal.
I think there's a certain amount of pressure on him because he wasn't used at all last year, really, in these playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing was, okay, you're going to have to step up. And he was better this year than he was last year with Denver. He was an afterthought last year. So he's been better, but yeah, I'm good if he doesn't, you know, if he really tries to pull that down. He shot 6 threes last night. I'm good if he shoots about 3.
Yep.
Take about 3. Maybe you're going to make one of those. We'll be good with that. Peyton Watson had the 3. That was it for him. But he did have an assist. Christian Brown had 2. I felt sorry for him. And this was all the Nuggets kind of looked lost throughout the series and throughout the game last night. But Christian Brown, there's one time he just like looking around like, where do I go? It kind of reminded me of Michael Porter Jr.'s early days.
Yeah, there were some moments where this team looked on the court just kind of out of sync with each other, and that's a weird thing to say about this team that has so much chemistry, where it's you're passing the ball. I think it was one play, it was a pass to Reggie, and MPJ just jumped in front of it and took the pass.
Yeah.
Or there was a pass to the corner for Christian, and MPJ is like right next to him. Like, why are there two guys in the corner?
Yeah, that was kind of that moment right then. I went, oh gosh, this team is just not where
just
they need to be.
A little out of sync with each other. And I, you know, we could credit that to the Lakers defense a little bit more than the Nuggets are having concerns there. I think the Lakers defense gave them some issues and different things, and it was maybe we don't need to show all of our adjustments.
Maybe
right now.
I asked the question last night. I said, why don't the Nuggets look like the Nuggets? And I don't have the answer to that. I mean, there's one school of thought that will tell you that maybe they're not giving you everything. Maybe they don't want to go. They don't want to wear Joker out because they know it was it was grueling last year to get through this thing. The NBA playoffs, it's just an interesting beast, man. You know, it's basketball. It's basketball, as LeBron will tell you, and Bud Black will tell you it's baseball. But
and it's just basketball. At the end of the day, it's just basketball.
The moment LeBron James was broken. You know, you can talk about different sports, and some people love hockey playoffs, and some people love just the NFL playoffs, and some people love March Madness and stuff. But the thing I love about the NBA playoffs is it really has the most personality. You know, you get some the Avs-Jets series has been full of personality. A lot of stuff going on in that one. But in an NBA series, there's just so many things from it. How many quotes do we have now? We have it's basketball. We have Jamal made a shot. We have D'Angelo Russell at the end of the bench eating chocolate. We have Joker comparing basketball to horse races. You know, it's a golden one there. We've got, you know, Jamal
Darnham saying, I don't really know what we're doing.
I don't know what the hell we're going to do against Joker. You know, you got a lot of really interesting things in these series, and this is how it goes. And I, you know, we've been watching the NBA playoffs, but you don't, unless you're really focused on it, you don't get the stories. Minnesota and their series against the Suns, OKC series, you don't get to know those stories as much. You just watch the game and you kind of move on with your life. But with this, you're close to it. So you see all the recaps, all the post games, you watch everything, you absorb it. And it's really cool for me. I love the NBA playoffs. It's just a lot more stressful when your team, the team you're rooting for, is an actual contender. Listen, guys, weather's been weird. People are driving like crazy. You always hear our Good Morning NoCo traffic reports. You always hear how nutty it is. Accidents. We know we live on dangerous roads in Weld County, Northern Colorado. If you or a loved one have been injured in a car accident from a negligent driver, there's only one law firm to contact, and that is Doolin McQuinn Young Law Firm. Check them out at trialproven.com. Let them go to battle for you. You know, there's some silly drivers out there that just don't seem to care. And get some justice if you or a loved one or somebody you know has been involved in some kind of an accident from a negligent driver. Check them out at trialproven.com. 28 minutes after the hour, the Minnesota Timberwolves coming to town on Saturday. We know it's Saturday. We don't know the time yet, but this is going to be a battle. Hopefully the Nuggets learned a lot from this series against the Lakers. Let's talk about the matchups coming up next.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I know this is for the Timberwolves, Bane Angel, but man, it's a good one. It's a good one. And now, you know, it's funny, the connections are going crazy here.
because that's an NWO Wolfpack song. And I think Anthony Edwards turned heel the other night, you know, doing the D-Generation X, which was the NWO Wolfpack of the WWF in those days. And I think Anthony Edwards is kind of embracing the killer mentality right now. He said it. That's why is he so good? Because he wants to kill everything in his path. Why is it? Why am I not fighting the Anthony Edwards Michael Jordan comparisons?
I think it's easier for you because you've witnessed both.
Yeah,
it's harder for me because it's just okay. You know, how many guys have we seen be? Oh, this is the next Michael Jordan, and you know Edwards is talented. I don't want to take it away from that.
He's good.
But it's hard for me to really compare the impact of Michael Jordan to what I'm seeing now.
Yeah, I don't know if Edwards will reach that level. I don't know that anybody, no one will ever reach that level of popularity. It's just, we're just in a different world now. It's just, it's different.
Well, it's like popularity almost means almost nothing now, or it doesn't mean as much.
We're not as patient with popular. I mean, that goes away quickly.
It's like, oh, you have 100 million views on TikTok. Okay, so do 15 million other people.
Patrick Mahomes could have one bad, real, and I'm talking down year. Like, he's just awful suddenly. And we quickly go, okay, he was really good, but move on to the next guy. Jordan was in the era before social media and really hardcore internet stuff. You know, I mean, that was just a different time. And he grasped an NBA audience that I think had gone away from the NBA for a little bit. And he was, marketing was just different in the 90s, Angel. It was just, everything was different. Movies that would come out, it was bigger. Nowadays, a movie comes out and we're excited for a second, hits the theaters, boom, it's done. We're not talking about it anymore. 90s was different. Lion King would come out and it was all over the place, not for a month, not for a year. It was a couple years. You'd go, the toys are everywhere. The fast food restaurants are constantly jumping in on that. It just lasted longer.
I mean, MJ does a Big Mac commercial, and now everyone's eating McDonald's.
Yeah.
Everyone's wearing Heinz underwear or whatever.
Space Jam with Michael Jordan was revolutionary. Space Jam with LeBron James was just another attempt to try to recapture the magic that was the 90s. Why do you think all these remakes are happening? They're trying to capture the magic. I saw they're going to do a prequel to Lion King. It's when Mufasa's a little kid. No, it's okay, neat. A cub or whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's just the 90s, it was just different. And Jordan was in that time where we were ready for something new. And Jordan was that guy. Now we get a lot of great players in the league. Can Anthony Edwards stand the test of time and be a long-term fixture in the league? Maybe, but nobody will beat Jordan. It just won't happen.
Where is he at with Kobe?
Where's Anthony Edwards?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's comparisons to all great players, but he's got a long way to go. But just, I think just the initial, it's just the initial, hey, he kind of looks like Jordan.
Sure.
Kind of plays like Jordan. He kind of has this badass attitude, kind of like Jordan. So, and Kobe too. Kobe was the closest thing to Jordan.
Kobe felt a little more like just like an underrated type, like that Mamba mentality where he's going to slither around and then strike you when you're not ready for it.
Yeah. The player side of it, there's a lot of comparisons between those two. They were very good defensive players too. They could body you up. They could back you down. That fadeaway. Those two had so many comparisons, Jordan and Kobe. As far as their personality, I felt like they both had that Mamba mentality, you know, killer instinct. Jordan was definitely gave in to more of the marketing stuff. Like, and not to say Kobe didn't do some of that stuff, but Jordan was, he'd go on the Tonight Show and he'd be cutting it up, joking with the host. Kobe would go on the Tonight Show and they'd show him a clip with the late, and he would just get mad, you know, and he was just like, almost like, I want to go play basketball right now. Jordan's very much in the moment of, I'm here to sell these shoes right now, man. So that's what we're going to do.
They're both in the gym at 4 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
but afterwards, Michael's going to go play cards in his hotel room.
Yeah.
And Kobe's going to go back to the gym.
Probably. Yeah. Jordan was going to go play golf, you know, get some gambling going, maybe do an endorsement thing. Kobe's like, how long's this crap going to take?
because I got to get up 100 more shots, you know, in the next 30 minutes. Jordan got everything there. Can Anthony Edwards be? I just don't think, or Anthony, yeah, Anthony Edwards. I just don't think there will ever be another guy like Michael Jordan for, you know, on the floor or off the floor. There just won't be. And I'm okay with that. Like, we talk about Joker. What would it take for Joker to ever get to Jordan status? He could win 5 more championships and make it a total of 6, and he won't be at that level. Jordan was larger than life. We throw that around a lot. Jordan truly is one of those players. Tom Brady is not larger than life in the way that Michael Jordan was. Mm-hmm. Tiger Woods is one of the greatest stories, but not larger than life. There's not a lot of guys that just compare to Jordan.
Well, you mentioned guys like Kobe and Tiger and Tom Brady. They came after Michael.
Yeah, and they were.
And how do you follow in those footsteps?
You just don't. Jordan was the first. Not the first great player. Not the first marketable player, but he was the first that just went, became a worldwide phenomenon. I mean, he was that guy. So you'll never, they'll never get that guy in the league. I also think the league is spread out now with superstars. But let's talk about the matchup. In most of the games that we've seen between these two teams, you've seen KCP be the primary defender on Edwards. So that's going to probably be his task, Angel, is to slow him down. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to have switches and all that, but if you're just assuming there's no screening, there's no switches at all, which is ridiculous in the NBA, KCP will be tasked in going up against Edwards, right? So it's, in my mind, it's going to be Jamal Murray on Conley. It's going to be KCP on Edwards. It's going to be McDaniels and Porter. It's going to be Joker and Towns. It's going to be Gobert and Gordon. Gobert is going to be the floater down there and try to double up on Joker and swat basketballs away. Which on paper it might set up for an Aaron Gordon type series, Angel, where maybe Gordon's the guy that takes advantage of all the attention on Joker in the paint. But honestly, Gordon had, I think, two of the four games this year, Gordon had 14 points, two games, and then the other ones were like 4 and 5 points or something like that. So he didn't really have monster games against the Timberwolves in the regular season. Now, that doesn't mean everything. But I could see a world where Gordon is kind of not a focal point. He takes advantage of the focal point. KCP too small for Edwards. Gordon will be on Edwards. You're going to put Gordon up there on Edwards? And who's guarding Rudy Gobert?
Gotta be Yoke, right?
Well, then who's guarding Towns?
It's AC,
not,
or
it's not Porter. I mean, you're, you know, it's
no.
I mean, every game that I've seen, it was Gordon could end up on Edwards. Gordon would do that all the time, but
sure. And most of the time, Gordon does guard the better player.
Yeah.
But even against LeBron, they would switch it with him and KCP until they got the switch with Murray.
Yeah, Gordon will be on Edwards at one point, but primary defender. On him, you're running down the floor and you're pointing to who's got who. Isn't it going to be KCP? Because then you're going to have Porter on Gobert or Towns?
Yeah, and you're not putting Porter down in the paint to play defense.
No. Back and down, having a guy back you down? Mm-hmm. So, Dixon, what's your response to that? Because I'd like to know. Because I don't think it's as easy as we're making it out to be, that it's just, oh, KCP's too small. Okay, then what happens?
Yeah, this game, this series will be played a lot more in the paint and in the mid-range.
Dixon says Porter on Gobert. You don't really have to guard Gobert. Well, he's still a big man. He's still going to get in the paint. That's where he lives, and do you want Michael Porter Jr. living down there amongst the other tree? He's a big guy, too.
Yeah, they have the size. Gordon, Jokic, and MPJ in that court, front court, whatever it is. I don't know the difference. But you have length down there. And you can match that up with Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns. But, yeah, MPJ is not primarily down there playing defense.
I wouldn't think so. But, again, the way it's going to be, there's going to be switches, and Gordon's going to end up on Edwards a lot. But I'm just saying, like, primarily, you're going to have KCP focusing on Edwards. He had a few of those moments in the games,
yeah,
in the regular season.
KCP and Mike, they are your perimeter defenders. In terms of you want to use their length to try to disrupt 3-point shots. They're not the physical guys that can take a drive to the basket.
Yeah. Backcourt, Angel's the guards and stuff. Okay.
I thought that's what it was.
But... big guys. I just wanted to hit that. I don't see, it's never cut and dry when you're talking way Gordon can play and all that stuff. All right, so that's how I think it's going to go down. How did the four-game series turn out? We'll talk about that coming up in a moment, too. But first, we got to jump out. The four-game series in the regular season, I should say. But let's jump out real quickly and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. I want to thank another great sponsor of ours. This is why we can do it. Eaton Country Club. You know, these sponsors are what allows us to do live and local radio. And you guys got to check out the Eaton Country Club. It's Northern Colorado's hidden gem of a golf course in Eaton, of course, hence the name, Eaton Country Club. We know how pricey golf can get, but you really won't find a better deal than what they have, some of their membership deals going on right now, including their junior membership for people 29 years and younger. Sign up for tournaments open to the public too. So maybe you're not a member yet and a buddy of yours has asked it if you want to go play out there and you go sign up, you end up falling in love with the golf course. Check them out at eatoncc.net. 49 minutes after the hour, this matchup is going to be a tough one for sure. It's really about, obviously, Anthony Edwards is the star. He's really becoming a star in this league. But you just can't forget about the big man either. I mean, Rudy Gobert and Kat and Dixon, you can't just say, hey, Gordon, you're tasked with guarding Edwards up there, because now you're taking a big man. I mean, again, Edwards is cutting to the basket and he's going to play inside the paint too. But you got to have Gordon near the basket. Again, Gordon will go up against anybody. That's why I love this guy. He will play the point guard. He will play the center if he needs to. And again, you're going to see matchups that will happen that way due to switches or whatever, or they just get back on defense and Gordon's the guy that just gets down and takes him. So it's not like it's not going to happen. I just think KCP is going to be tasked with him at first.
Yeah, I just want to pull this up about Jokic against the Timberwolves. In the last eight games, he's averaging 31.4 points, 11.9 rebounds, and 7 assists. It's
probably going to be a Joker night, Joker series. Probably, right?
It should be. I think Davis probably gives Jokic the most trouble defensively.
Yep.
And Gobert has had a lot of history with Jokic, but I think he handles that challenge a little bit easier.
Davis is a presence, man. I mean, he is. If he stays healthy, he is an absolute force to be reckoned with. And it's hard to contain him on defense, and it's hard to really run your same stuff that you do on offense. Is Joker a better player than Anthony Davis? Yeah. But Davis, probably one of the better players going up against Joker. The problem is he can't maintain that same intensity throughout a game. So this is going to be a dogfight. It's going to be a battle. 12:51, we're going to take a short break. We'll wrap up hour number two. In the final hour of the show, we got buy or sell coming up. Nuggets, T-Wolves. Your predictions on how that series is going to go down. I'll give you my predictions of how that series is going to go down. And then Kyle Fredrickson will join us with the Gazette, and he'll give us a breakdown of Avs-Jets Game 5. Will the Avs close their series out tonight? All that coming up next. It's The Whole Show live from the Aloe Fiber Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Tis the season. Or perhaps baseball. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. I just disagree with the thought process here. Texter says, Cat missed 3 of 4 games against Denver this year. With both Cat and Gobert on the floor, that will change Joker's production. With Cat guarding Joker, that allows Gobert to roam the paint and alter and affect all the other shots and drives. Yeah, I agree with that. And then basically, Dixon comes in and says, Porter is almost 7 feet tall. You just need him to box out Gobert. Shoots worse than Gordon. So you want Porter to spend his time on the defensive side of the ball in the paint, boxing guys out with a bad back, and then being ready to go on the offensive side to hit up to hopefully knock down some key threes. I'm not wearing him out down there.
I love the confidence in Michael Porter's defense, but suddenly even I will tell you it's not that good.
Suddenly he's the defensive player of the year that's going to shut down. Again, he's 7 foot, but he doesn't play like us. Or he's, what is Porter, close to 7 foot?
Yeah, he's like 7...
6'11"?
6'10".
6'10". He's not a big man.
He's not a lateral
height
guy. He uses his height with his jump shot and his length with his arms, but he doesn't bend down a lot to play defense.
Right, and like Kevin Durant's a pretty tall dude too, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want him guarding the trees. You know,
right.
You can be tall, that doesn't make you a big man. So, no, I'm not disagreeing that Gordon won't switch off and be on... Edwards at times. I just think the primary defender is going to be KCP. He's going to be tasked with that. So, how many times did they switch in this series against the Lakers? It's you're going to have a lot of interesting switches. Gordon will have a lot of moments where
Jokic was guarding LeBron a few times.
Yeah, sure. It's MPJ is our worst player and often guards their worst player. What? What are we doing here now? MPJ is our worst. Is our worst player? All right. So final, I'm thrown by that one. Final hour of the show. Buy or sell? Coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.